Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Afternoon Drive, Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin on a F-off Friday, on a football Friday, on a, we got some fun Guardians baseball to talk about as well. The Guardians get a big series against the Twins going, coming up tonight. We take three of four. My buddy Nate, my best friend since we're 14 years old, my buddy Nate texted me last night and was like, man, it was really fun. And I talked about all the fun we had on. And I started doing the thing where I was like, you take three or four from the Twins, then you go ahead, you got sweep another one of the series,
yeah.
But then you go two or three from the other, and you're at 8-2. And I could tell at some point the math completely checked him out of our conversation. And
it was math textual. Because we've done it before where the math didn't math.
The math very much math, but he was like, I'm just here for the good vibes. Yeah. I'm not here for the math.
Some people at the end of the day just don't even want to bother with numbers.
Now, most of the time it's me, but I just got so excited. I went right into basic arithmetic to my friend who understands basic arithmetic and could have done it his darn self. Now, Browns Packers on Sunday. We will continue to have a conversation about this. We got Myles Garrett, some audio from him coming up within this hour as well. But of Sumer Sports, on the fan hotline, you've heard him here with us before, Sam Bruckhaus joining us right now. Sam, welcome to the show.
Thank y'all for teeing me up with all this math talk, man. I'm excited to talk some of the numbers for this Browns matchup this week.
I actually wonder if, because like sometimes my friends and I will be talking and they're just like, I think player X sucks. And I'll be like, well, you know what? Honestly, the offensive line's not playing well. I don't think he's suited to play behind this. And I basically talk over their heads instead of just being like, yeah. Do you have that where like you get super inside analytics while talking to like your friends and they are like, dude, we just want to know if you think this guy sucks or not?
Yeah, it's funny. Me and my friend Sean Syed, who works with us at Sumer Sports, and he's an excellent scheme analyst, just watched the Caleb Williams versus the Lions film, and his wife was sitting next to us, and she was just like, what are y'all even talking about, man? Like, y'all are just speaking French over here. So, you know, every once in a while it can get advanced, but I think the most fun part, especially given now we have the excellent Prime Analytics broadcast and people are really getting involved in football via betting and fantasy, that everyone's kind of starting to speak our language, man. It makes it a little bit more fun.
Yeah, I mean, Sam, I'm one of the guys that I can't get enough of that stuff. Like, I love the numbers attached to it all, and I love being able to quantify and figure out exactly what goes where and how it went there. And so, in speaking your language then, break down what you've seen so far with Joe Flacco and whether or not you feel like there's a bounce back coming.
In short, it has not been good. When we talk about expected points added, basically that's just putting yards in context. Third and 10, if you get 9 yards, it's probably not great because you didn't get the first down, but 4 yards on third and four is really good. Joe Flacco is near the bottom of quarterbacks in that metric per play. That includes runs, passes, and sacks for the quarterback. He's well at the bottom of the league there. That being said, we've seen Stefanski be able to pull it out. There's a lot of young guys playing on that offense. We've seen Harold Fannin start to command targets. We saw Quinshon start to get quality carries last week. I think there is a bounce back for the offense. I just don't know how much above average we're going to see Joe Flacco at this point in his career.
So the Browns are 7.5-point dogs as of right now on the FanDuel app. And that's also, you got to take into account, that's also at home. I'm just curious how much of a chance you give the Browns to make this game competitive and maybe even try and steal the game on Sunday.
I think the X factor has to be the coverage players for the Browns. I think that, frankly, the defense is shooting on all cylinders for the Packers right now. It's led by Micah Parsons and Edgerrin Cooper, two of guys I expect to be in the Defensive Player of the Year conversation. And on the flip side of the ball, they have a lot of weapons. Tucker Kraft has an injury that we're not sure if he's going to play. He's been the go-to target for Jordan Love. And we've seen people get pressure on Jordan Love. We haven't really seen many people sack him. I think Myles Garrett is going to be able to get pressure alongside the young player McGuire, who has done pretty excellently, all things considered, this year. It's going to come down to that coverage. We saw the Browns able to kind of neutralize the pressure that Aiden Hutchinson was putting on him. But when Hutchinson was able to get after him in the second half, he started to kind of lose it as the game went on. We saw very similar stuff in the second half of the Commanders game, but they were well in control of that game. I think if the coverage guys force the Packers offense, and in particular the Packers pass catchers, to create separation, I don't know exactly if they will be able to do that at a high level. It'll cause some problems for Jordan Love. I think that's the X factor. And if we're able to see that happen in the first and second quarters, it could easily be a tighter game than Vegas expects.
Yeah, you give a nice compliment to the Packers defense. With the Browns defense through two games, they're second in the league in yards per played allowed. They're first in rushing yards. They've allowed the fewest first downs per game. PFF has them as the number one defense in the NFL. Should the Browns defense be getting more credit? You mentioned the coverage stuff. I get it, but should they have more credit given to them at this point?
I think if there's any credit to give, it has to go to Myles Garrett. Talked about Micah Parsons a little bit. Myles Garrett is solidly in that Defensive Player of the Year conversation. His ability to be an entire defense is the reason why he was very briefly the highest paid non-quarterback in this league. I think it's a little shakier everyone else, but when you have a North Star of that level, it allows you to vault into that top five in terms of defense. We're not seeing a ton of fall off from Myles Garrett. I think especially going against an offensive line which has seen some reshuffling, seen some rookies have to play as well. I think if he can wreak havoc and the coverage unit can maintain enough for him to get home and actually sack Jordan Love, that'll be a game changer in this game.
Sam Bruckhouse of Sumer Sports on the Fan Hotline here, getting you ready for Sunday's tilt between the Packers and the Browns. So you mentioned both names here. If you were going to take one player for the next 3 years to build a defense around, are you choosing Myles Garrett or Micah Parsons?
I think for the next 3 years, I'm probably choosing Micah Parsons just because of age. But if I need to start a defense right now, I'm choosing Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett performs substantially better in the run game. Micah Parsons has been utilized a little bit more by the Packers as a pass defender. And to Jerry's credit, I guess, I don't even want to give him a ton of credit for trading him, but we did see drop off in Micah Parsons' play, given he was injured last year in the run defense. It was a poor Cowboys run defense around him. That just doesn't happen with Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett, currently as it stands, is the best defensive player in the league because he changes every single play no matter what.
How have you seen the Browns' offensive line? It's kind of a mixed bag of sorts. DeJuan Jones, I think, has been pretty miserable through the first couple games. On the insides, I think it's been much better, though. But you've had some injuries even on the right side to Conklin. How have you seen the offensive line?
I think it's interesting because in the passing game, we've seen real struggles. And as a result, like I was talking about, Flacco has struggled a lot. But last week, Quinshon Judkins, in what we call our running Sumer score, which evaluates every tenth of a second of a play and compares every tenth of a second to every season in the next-gen stats era, so going back to 2016, he had the eighth best performance last week. That's a top-tier performance. I'm interested to see if Kevin Stefanski can put together a complimentary run-pass game to kind of take the brakes off of the offensive line a little bit, put a little bit more on the entire team in the running game. Let's see if Quinshon can really take some carries, take some carry share, and turn it into something that backs the defense off a little bit, and then maybe we'll see that offensive line perform a little bit better.
Sam, we saw the Ravens last week. Pretty good. We got the Packers this week. Pretty good. If you had to pick a team that you think by the end of this season we're going to consider to be the better team, who would you bet on being that team, the Ravens or the Packers?
I'm going with Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is an absolute supernova at this level. We're talking about how Myles Garrett can change a defense. Lamar Jackson can change an entire game. There's only two players operating at the level that Lamar Jackson is operating at right now. That's him and Josh Allen. He's having a Hall of Fame type season. He's had two or three Hall of Fame type seasons in a row. I want to bet on, I think this is like the Peyton Manning year for Lamar Jackson is what I'll say. For years, we saw Peyton Manning be able to orchestrate excellent offenses. They can never get it done. Then all of a sudden, one or two things goes right. He ends up winning a Super Bowl. I think that's the year Lamar Jackson is going to have. I got to go with the Ravens as a result.
Yeah, it's funny because you mentioned it's like him and then Josh Allen. And if I was trying to do like a history lesson from, I don't know, like 25 years from now, I'd be like, wait a second. So people gave up on Mahomes starting in like the middle of the time that he went to three straight Super Bowls? Like, make it make sense for me. What's the drop off with Mahomes? How do you see this?
I think Mahomes is right there as well. I think the real difference that we've seen, we talked about Jordan Love and how he's able to avoid sacks on a personal basis. He does not take sacks. That was Mahomes' superpower for absolute years. Last year, we saw a decrease. He was taking more sacks, and he personally was leading to more negative plays for the Chiefs' offense. Now, there's a ton of reasons why that could be. The offensive line struggled last year. The wide receivers are hurt. There's not a lot of talent around him, et cetera, et cetera. But typically, that is a quarterback sticky stat, meaning the quarterback has a lot of control over it. This year, we're seeing him scramble a lot more. We're still seeing those sacks, and that's just something that does not really happen to Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen. We're really splitting hairs here, though. I mean, like, Mahomes is also having Hall of Fame-level seasons. He's basically drugged that team to two competitive games by himself, one of which was in Brazil. All kinds of extenuating circumstances there. I still think he's solidly in the conversation. He's just not firing at a team level or at a full counting stats level that we like to see from MVP-type players, and I think that's why it's Allen and Jackson right now.
Sam, I'm confused. The Bills... I don't say that's an easy win because they don't exist in the NFL, but that's a nice win over the Dolphins last night. And all I heard this morning from the national crowd was how in danger the Bills are. And I was like, they're 3-0 in September when I don't expect them to play their best football. It's about the defense and about how the defense isn't good enough. Is that the right read on this, or should we just fall back on the fact that a team that's had a lot of regular season success, was in the AFC title game last year, is just playing well enough to win in September?
This has given me a lot of chagrin since all the way back to last year, because last year I was beating the drum the entire season that their defense wasn't there, their defensive secondary was very vulnerable. The teams could attack them there. Teams did attack them there all year. But I think just the way that the Bills play with two excellent players up front, we've seen Ed Oliver have to fight off injuries, but Greg Russo, the edge rusher, they play really light boxes and they just make teams kind of putt-putt it down the field. Teams have been able to do that on time and again, and that's why that defense doesn't look very good. But as a result, they've been able to set up their offense very nicely. They have what I call the two-tackle theory. On offense, they have two excellent tackles led by Deion Dawkins, left tackle, and they have an excellent quarterback. It's just very difficult to bet against them. I wouldn't expect that they are even close to a 500 season. I think this is one of the best teams in the National Football League, and I'm inclined to slightly overlook the defense as it compares to league average teams, as it compares to the Ravens or to the Chiefs or the Chargers or some of these really, really good teams that have excellent quarterbacks. I am not going to overlook it. And I think last year, the cold and the snow and the blizzard really got to the Ravens. And we see them basically win. We see the Bills basically win because of a slippery ball in the snow. I think they're going to have to, you know, maintain a level of luck there if they want that defense to survive in the playoffs. But as it pertains to the regular season, I think they're in a great position.
Follow this man on the Twitter machine at Sam Bruckhaus. Sam, great stuff, buddy. Always appreciate it. You killed it once again.
Thank you very much.
That was Sam Bruckhouse of Sumer Sports in the previous segment. Really, really, really strong stuff from Sam. If that's the first time you've heard of him, he does tremendous work on Sumer Sports and always knocks it out of the park. Here, we are going to get to some Myles Garrett sound within this segment. We've got plenty to get to from the Guardians to the rest of football as well. But I think this is one of the things you and I were driving at. If the goal is to have a top 10 offense, I don't think that's in the cards for this iteration of the Cleveland Browns, but I do think there's a chance that you could be much better than the worst offense in football or a bottom three offense in football, which almost across the board you are for a lot of statistical metrics.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost laughable when you go and look at some of the rankings where Joe Flacco is and relative for the 2 weeks. But like there's hope. You just have to have a better offensive line in a lot of ways. Like I was getting some of the under pressure numbers in the Ravens game. He was 6 of 18, had both of his interceptions, and threw for a total of 24 yards under duress. You're not winning games that way. And so, like, yes, there has to be. I think why this matchup is so scary for a lot of people out there that are trying to pay attention to all this is that you see Micah Parsons and you see the pass rush that the Packers have been able to get in the first two games. How silly they've made Jared Goff look. How silly they've made Jaden Daniels look. And you're just not left with a lot of hope for Joe. And it's unfortunate, but like the offensive line has got to do their part and be better.
Yeah, the cycle of suck is the O-line's not pass proing well enough, nor are they run protecting well enough. And so then neither of those things get going. I tend to think that if you can get some explosive plays in the ground, I do think that's going to open up. One, I just think it allows you as an offensive line to get some synergy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Some energy going, and you can take pride in that. I think these dudes up front really like, I mean, Wyatt Teller with the 20-yard down the field blocks. Like, I think this is part of that DNA that needs to be unlocked. For all five guys up front.
Oh, and Wyatt's got to be better. I saw this stat earlier today because people are highlighting the defensive tackle, Carl Brooks. Wyatt Teller has the worst pass block win rate among guards in the entire league.
Oh, that I did not see that.
Yeah, so a little surprising, right? Because we've highlighted the idea that DeJuan has been so bad, and obviously Conklin's had his injuries, but like Teller hasn't done his part either.
I know Joel graded out better last week, and I think he played better than the week before. I don't think any of them have played. I've actually thought overall, I thought Wyatt's played the best, probably because I paid more attention to his run blocking than anything. But that to me is where it's, if you're going to break the cycle of suck, it's got to start with the ground game. Because that's what they want to do. They want to run the game, but it's not enough just to be 4 yards per carry. You've got to get, I mean, like four or five. When I say explosive runs, I just mean like 10 yards plus. You get a couple of those.
Yeah, we've had one all season.
And all of a sudden, I really do think like everything that you've said and I've said points to a really tough position for Joe and stylistically how he likes to play for him to even be a functional version of himself. I really just don't think we're that far away from at least just being entertaining. I don't know. Entertaining is the wrong word. Functional. I'm going to go back to functional.
We can always enter fun bad territory, which, you know, I always just kind of I sit in sometimes and I think to myself, this is bad, but we've gotten fun bad.
That's different than sin bad.
It's also different than just bad bad.
That's true.
By the way.
Which is, I'm sure that's got, how has nobody had that as like a stage name yet?
Bad bad?
Yeah. Sounds like a really, like a lame rapper, but doesn't it?
Well, it's like Bad Bunny. We're close to it.
Well, but bad bad is just different. Because I know what good good is. Been there before. Never been bad bad.
Good good is also a golfing brand too now. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, they're starting things.
Is it hemp based?
No. Okay. It's young-ish. I bet like Jake Murren and I don't know about Jake Murren because he's not much of a golfer, but like Jake Vonick, I bet he's got some good good stuff.
He's got some
good
stuff.
You know who does?
Stuff?
Jax. I bet our buddy Jax has some good good stuff.
Yeah?
Yeah. But it's golf. It's not whatever you're thinking of right now. Yeah. You're thinking of something way different.
It's not the good good.
Not the good good, but it's called good good.
I feel like the good good and good good golf stuff, I think you could have a collaboration. I'll be honest with you. I've gone golfing a few times with good good, and I can tell you, they're nice.
Just a missed opportunity for everybody involved.
I mean, really, good good golf stuff, get your you-know-what in gear.
Oddly enough, Flacco, when having a couple seconds to work with, hasn't looked miserable. Like by every advanced metric you can find, he's been miserable across the board, but he's somewhat competent when given an actual free look at this whole thing. And so I feel like they have to give him more opportunities there. It stinks. We're week three in and we're already talking about an offensive line that's falling apart, which, by the way, was the most predictable thing we ever could have done because we talked about it all off season about how this could be the Achilles heel.
I still think it can come together. Now, the health thing is the bug. Like, I don't know if Jack Conklin's ever going to be healthy again. Joel is older, so the back injury stuff is real
concern. Except for DeJuan, that's the problem.
Wyatt Teller's 30. That's not old.
It's old in the NFL.
Ethan Posick just plain stinks sometimes, but sometimes he doesn't. Okay, I was couching that. He stinks. I realize what I was doing. It's like,
but sometimes he doesn't.
You think what you think, but no. I mean, I really think that, and who knows if this is the right week. And you kind of need it to be this week.
It has to be this week. That's the thing. You're out of weeks.
Because you're going to get a point where you just become less competitive, and then that's when other things start to happen. But yeah, I mean, it's not even about points scored, right? It really is about, are you sustaining drives? Are you making plays? Are you making any explosive plays? At some point, you got to think something's going to break free for this Browns team.
And the worry I would have in this, and I have so much more confidence in this game than I did last week's game. I just do. I think it's got a chance to be much closer. Let's put it that way. I don't see a blowout happening. That's not really in the cards. I'm betting every under I can get my hands on, okay? But like, I think some of the confidence and some of where you have to really drive into is just thinking about whether or not Joe Flacco can get to being the Joe Flacco that he was even just a year ago at times. Like, it's not so far removed that you can't see that happen.
216-474-0092. So the question for you guys is, what part of the offense do you believe can be fixed and will be fixed? So I wanted to do some predictive stuff here before we get to the Al Michaels sound. How far? Say in the future. You're not going to be on the show on Monday. You got to go have another baby and all that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But when we come back on Monday, what will the playoff race look like? I want to make get your prediction from the Guardian standpoint on Monday.
What is winning 2 out of 4 or 3 out of 4 do? Is that anything for you?
Basically, like, what does that mean? Do you think they'll be a game closer in either respect?
I think, all right. How many games? The Tigers just play a normal 3-game set?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's say they're what, 3.5 back right now?
Yeah.
So let's say they're within 2.5 of the Tigers. Okay. We get right to 2.5.
Well, wouldn't it
setting it up perfectly for when the Guardians could actually have their own fate in their hands. How about that?
Where we finally get rid of the half, though. Because you're playing 4 games and everyone else is playing 3. Number.
That's right, okay.
So let's call it 2 games. Either 2 or 3 games out.
Let's call it 2 games then, okay?
Okay. I like that. Mostly because that's what I want to be true.
Yeah, that's all. That's all. I mean, it's not really, there's no deep dive analysis outside of the idea that there's an advantage that between the Guardians and the Twin series, one team will actually be trying on the field.
And can I point out, the Braves have won 5 straight games. That's who the Tigers have this weekend. So
I actually don't like playing the Braves. But the Braves, they're going to bounce back in a in the opposite direction, right? They're not a particularly good team.
Yeah, they are 13 games below 500.
And so when you go on a 5-game winning streak, you're probably going to dead cat bounce the other direction.
I dare say the Braves owe us one. The Braves were one of like three teams that I told everybody, I don't like that Braves series. Remember going into August and then they spanked you? Now it's time to pay it forward. You spanked us. You hurt our playoff chances back in August. Be a mensch, Atlanta, and help us out here by sweeping the Tigers.
Well, and think about it, though. I mean, every game that isn't a Scooble game right now, if you're Detroit, you have zero confidence in.
Yep.
Like, he's their Band-Aid. That's what made Thursday so awesome, is that he is their Band-Aid. He comes in, and then he makes everything all right, and he cleans up the boo-boos and everything like that, and he wasn't able to. And so, like, I honestly, I don't know if you're a Detroit fan, how you have any confidence in any game outside of just a game that Scooble starts. Your offense isn't particularly good. Your starting staff isn't particularly good outside of Scooble at this point. Your bullpen isn't particularly, like, they're not a good baseball team. And they know it. Like, you know, they're all so defeated. They're just not a good baseball team.
I know what the Guardians have. It's not enough just to win. They gotta cut down that minus 23 differential. Get it to single digits. All right, let's get it. Let's go from minus 23.
You need a spanking is what you need.
We need to spank the Twins just so other people in the media will give the Guardians a decent chance to...
Well, so this is my favorite part about all this, is that my friends in the media, they don't know what to do with this because the Guardians have one of the worst offenses. If they were to make so I looked this up earlier. If they were to actually make the playoffs, okay, it would be one of the worst offenses baseball history has ever seen from an OPS plus standpoint. Mm-hmm. The OPS plus right now for the Guardians at 226, 297, 372 is an 84 OPS plus. The five worst to ever make the playoffs. Most recently, the 2007 Diamondbacks were an 83. You're in that territory. It's Braves, White Sox, Mets, D-backs, Mets, all from a million years ago, it feels like. 2001, 1906, 1969, 2007, 1973. The long story short being, they're in rarefied air from an offensive standpoint to be a playoff team. And people can't handle it across baseball right now.
216-474-0092. We might have the Guardians' biggest doubter coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, potentially late 4 o'clock hour. But how far out will the Guardians be when we come back on air on Monday at 2? I think two games in the division is right. The wild card is just literally the wild card, because you can end up being one game out and there'd be one game difference just because it seems like the wild card is more competitive than the Tigers are right now. But last night, Bills get the win over the Dolphins. It was a little bit more competitive earlier than I thought it would be. I actually thought the Dolphins had some fight. But Al Michaels, just lathering the Bills with praise. And some people took what he said for the good of the Bills as shade at other teams.
You know, some teams are good, and they're not particularly interesting. The Buffalo Bills have really become a great team to watch.
They are.
And that is courtesy of Amazon Prime. Everyone was speculating.
Al, a lot of people think you're good, but not particularly interesting.
Well, that was hateful.
Yeah, I didn't need to say it, but I did. No. I've watched too many Thursday night football games to have to take any take outside of this. You are just grifting at this point with the amount of money that they're paying you and the lack of interest that you care about in these games.
That's the dream.
It's Thursday night football. You're the only game in town. I can't tune you out like Sunday. You're the only game in town. I need you to be better. It's been years now at this point. Years with an S.
Steal your money. Pave the way so we can also steal money and ship it in.
You're not even trying on these broadcasts. The hell are we doing around here?
No, we all want to get to the point of contentment where it's like, I guess I'll make those millions of dollars to do the game and be very disinterested in it. What team's he
the
talking
about? The nerve he's got to call out other people for not being interesting after what we've heard for years on end with it, that playoff game that he fell asleep. I didn't know if he fell asleep or was taking Quaaludes. Something happened to Al in that game, though.
Al likes to party.
He's never rebounded from that playoff game where he basically, it's one of the Quaaludes great playoff games we've seen in recent years, and the man has fallen asleep in the booth.
All right, so the question is, what team was he talking about?
Unbelievable. I mean, is it the Chiefs? Is that what he's going after?
Okay, I see that. Yeah, I thought it was the Eagles.
I thought Eagles instantly because basically Jalen Hurts is the only quarterback I've seen that is just comfortable not throwing the ball deep or not really just doing whatever it takes to win the game while just having it be so unsexy. He just does not care. I think it's a strength that the Eagles have. Like they have a whole situation right now with A.J. Brown where they just refuse to throw the ball deep. A.J. Brown is getting zero targets, and everyone's just cool with it, minus A.J. Brown. But it doesn't matter because A.J. Brown's feelings don't matter in this.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I don't... Okay, this one might not age well. I don't think what Harbaugh's going for in L.A. is going to be the most interesting. He's trying to play Harbaugh. Like, okay, we want to run the ball.
Well, that was the game that Michaels fell asleep in. Maybe that's what he was getting at. I would watch Herbert sling it in a parking lot, though. Like give him three footballs at the Kearney Fair, and I'm watching him with extreme intent.
I just think, listen, if you can be good and entertaining, that is the best of all worlds. Maybe
bold take you had right there.
Yeah, I know. If you can really entertain people and also be good at football, people are going to love you. I've been saying it for a while. But I think the thing is, maybe it's because we're just so devoid of good football in Cleveland. My initial thought was, give me a boring team that just wins every week. Give me what the Chiefs have. Give me what the Eagles have. At points, the Ravens can do this when they go to 12 personnel way too much and Lamar just doesn't run.
I mean, I'll take boring and good over what we currently have, which is boring and bad.
Yeah. No, that was the other thing I thought was the Browns really are antithetical to the Bills because they are boring and they are bad. Actually, I think you can make the case, offensively, they're unwatchable.
What, the Browns?
They have been unwatchable.
They were last week.
Yeah.
We're hoping that turns around this week.
They were kind of unwatchable against the Bengals, too.
I got no defense of it here. I'm just trying.
I just want to make sure we put it on the record there.
Don't you forget about week one.
216-474-0092. Al Michaels says, some teams are good but hard to watch. First guess, who's he talking about? I think it's got to be the Chiefs or Eagles. There's a fair amount of great teams you can say that about. I just like to be good. That's all. Myles Garrett's own words on the Micah Parsons trade and his own situation that we'll get into in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.